Welcome to the second episode in the Productivity Accelerator Success System audio series with Nancy Gaines. In this audio, you will learn the importance of scheduling and decision-making and how it impacts your life when you follow the principles. Here's Nancy.
So we just wrapped up talking about scaling yourself so you could be even more productive. Now I'm moving on to scheduling. To be even more productive, it's important to schedule your work, your exercise, family time, fun time, and maybe even date night, so it's always on your calendar. Productive people live with intention. They don't live on whims. Yeah, occasionally they'll have a whim and do something really fun, but most of the time they are in intention mode, not whimsical mode. And they schedule a far way out. I'm talking months and years, not just days and weeks. They plan ahead because they know where they're going and they block out time to get there. They even schedule vacations. Personally, I schedule a vacation once every quarter. So every 12 weeks, I can look forward to something really fun, get away from work, recharge my mind and body, and then come back even better. If you don't schedule your success, you schedule your failure. That was from one of my mentors, and this guy is so spot on. He even has his entire year of events planned out 12 months in advance. He knows the dates, the cities, the venues, and the start time. And it's amazing because he hands that schedule to people who come to his events so they know where they're going and they can pick and choose what they're going to do next. I am totally mirroring that because it's a great idea. So here's how you can start. You need a calendar. Pick whatever works for you. It might be your smartphone. Maybe you have a work calendar, Google, paper, whatever works for you. Pick one calendar, and I really emphasize one. I remember working for IBM. One client required us to carry two laptops, ours and theirs. So imagine getting through security, TSA security, every week with two laptops. What a pain. On top of that, our calendars didn't sync. So I had a calendar for them and a calendar for IBM, and it just drove me nuts being a productivity expert. So I have to emphasize one calendar, you pick the tool, and you have to use it. You have to log everything into this calendar. So not on scraps of paper or slips of paper that you intend to enter later on. Do it at the point you make the confirmation. If you're like me and you get a lot of requests for meetings and phone calls, I highly recommend you get a self-scheduling online tool. This is something that people can choose what time they're going to meet you all on their own. So you eliminate the back and forth of emails and trying a time that works for both of you or your admins connecting, whatever it is. The cool thing is you could set it up so people only see the available time and the busy time. They're not going to see your personal details of who you're meeting, when, and where. So there's a lot of privacy to it. But this tool, to me, has been like a second employee. My favorites are Schedule Once. This is a paid tool, but very affordable. And a free tool is You Can Book Me. I've used both of these tools. I like the functionality of Schedule Once. It's a little bit more advanced. I've got more flexibility to pick and choose what people see. And it integrates with my CRM system, my customer relationship management tool, which I use Infusionsoft. So like I said before, it's like having my own employee without the payroll taxes and sick days and drama. So it is perfect. ScheduleOnce.com and YouCanBookMe.com. If you meet people outside of your office, consider directing people to when and where you want to meet them. So for example, you don't want people to be wide open on your calendar and pick in-person meetings on one side of town and then on the other side of town and then north and south, and you are driving all over the place. Set up your scheduler so you pick certain days of the week where you will be in certain areas of town and really direct people to when and where you want to meet them. Clearly indicate this on your scheduling tool so people aren't confused, but it's really a time saver as well. How many of you intend to get more exercise, but it's just not happening? It's because you have to schedule it. So what I do personally is I lift weights Monday, Wednesday, Friday at the gym. And then Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays, I usually do something from home. Maybe do a DVD workout, run, hike, bike, just something where I'm not driving to a destination. Being in the mountains, every trip takes at least 30 minutes to get anywhere. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 1 hour of my day is traveling. And I am productive, though. I do listen to CDs on tapes while I'm driving, so that's kind of cool. For you, maybe you pick two or three exercise classes every week and you put them on your calendar and schedule it. Better yet, find a class near something you're already doing and catch it on the way home. That's how I do it. So I don't have a set time I go to the gym because my schedule varies all the time. And I have three different gyms that I belong to, so it's awesome. If I know I'm going to be on a certain side of town, I just schedule my gym visit to coincide with that on my way back. So very, very cool. So let me give you some specific actions you could do right now to help you schedule your time with more intent so you could be even more productive. And remember, all these tips I'm giving you moved you closer to gaining that extra 1 to 2 hours every day consistently. So my first tip, schedule your 1 year, 90-day, and 30-day activities to meet your overall goals. So what this means, you actually have to have an overall goal, and then break it down on how you are going to achieve that by day, week, month, quarter, and year. So here's an example. One of my clients is an artist, and she wanted to increase her monthly income by $2,500 every month. So we got together and made a plan, and what we found was one of the things she needed to do was to get more galleries showing her art. And that involved actually visiting the galleries, meeting the owners, seeing if it's a good fit, right? If their styles match, their business styles, their art styles. And without doing, actually scheduling those, where she was going to go throughout Colorado, it wouldn't get done. So we pulled out a calendar and said, this weekend in January, this weekend in February, this weekend in March, you're going to go on a gallery visit. So that's just an example of being very specific, because otherwise it just doesn't happen. Always work backwards from your goal to determine what you will schedule to get there and when on your calendar tool. Now, for those of you that are speakers or people that do live events, here's some tips that I found from personal experience here in the Denver area. Speakers need to plan at least 6 months ahead. So you could do this on a rolling month, but every 6 months, 6 months out, make sure you know who you're contacting to get on their calendar to speak. When people do events, they schedule pretty far out, right? It's not like, oh, we're doing an event and we need a speaker next month. It's very, very planned. So speaking should be 6 months out. And if you do live events, right, workshops or people come to you, I would also recommend a 3 to 6 month runway. This is about how long it takes to actually get the marketing in place so you can sell seats and have people in your room when you talk. So here's number two. Productive people think in terms of minutes, not hours or days. So here's an example. Most people default to scheduling 60-minute meetings, 1 hour meetings. And I'm sure you've heard, work expands to fill the time available. Why aren't people doing 30-minute meetings or 20-minute meetings? For some reason, this hour meeting is kind of stuck in our head, maybe from the corporate world. So here's what I found. Sometimes I meet people for coffee, and we're just not clicking, but one of us or both of us feels that we have to sit there for the full hour because that's what we committed to. So stop doing that. Instead, try the virtual coffee. This is one of my favorite productivity tips. It's a meeting you do by phone instead of in person. So it's shorter, it's usually more focused, it's cheaper in time, gas, and money. I've only had 2 people ever push back on my request for a phone meeting. One lady says, I only do in-person meetings, and I knew she wasn't a fit for me, so no problem breaking up with her. But I usually don't work with anybody who can't be that flexible and do a phone call. And honestly, I think people are relieved when you say, let's do a phone call, because they can be more productive as well. And think about this. You can also talk to more people in that same hour if you do a virtual coffee. So instead of 5 hours plus drive time to go meet somebody in person for coffee that may not be a good fit for you, try 5 12-minute meetings by the phone. And if somebody really is a fit, of course, you can schedule a follow-up in person. But I found that this is just an amazing way to find an extra 1 to 2 hours in your day. My third tip is calendar using the 50-10 formula. So you work for 50 minutes and then take a break for 10. This is a trick we used in consulting all the time when we did training or we had meetings, and it really helped people stay focused because they're not checking their phone or getting up to go to the bathroom or coffee. They knew exactly when the breaks were coming, so their attention span was a lot stronger. I also found if I'm working on something I really don't want to do, it helps me power through it because I only have to get through another, 5, 10, 15 minutes before the break. On the break, make sure you get up and move. Stretch, drink water, just get away from your computer. It's going to help you be a lot more refreshed, and it's a very effective way to manage your minutes. I use an iPad, so I set the timer to go off at 10 to the hour consistently throughout the day, and it really does work. So I can't quantify how this saves time, but it just does because you sustain your physical and mental energy so much better throughout the day. So scheduling is all about you driving your own time towards specific goals, not just letting things happen. So next I'm going to cover decision making. I found that productive people sift through their options quickly and they make decisions, and then they rarely change their mind. Key concept, quick decisions and stick with them unless it's a disaster. So how many of you ever took too long to think about something and then the opportunity was gone? I have a friend who was looking for his first house during the last hot real estate market. We were in St. Louis, and he lost 5 houses because he'd go look at it, liked it, but then he kind of kept thinking, should I get it? Should I not get it? And then somebody else would make a quicker decision and get the house. And of course, every time this happens, he had to buy a more and more expensive house. To me, it doesn't matter because houses aren't forever. I was like, just pick one. You're not going to be in this forever. You can always sell it if it doesn't work out. But it's a great example of how thinking about something too long makes the opportunity disappear. So if you want quantum productivity, you have to increase the pace you make decisions. No overthinking and no indecisiveness, because that wastes time and causes opportunities to go away and they can't be recovered. Indecision can literally grind progress to a halt. When you hesitate, overanalyze, or wait to see what happens, those are all forms of indecision. And when you're indecisive, you actually let the world decide the outcome for you, right? Somebody else picks up the opportunity, it goes away, or whatever happens because you didn't decide. And indecision leaves the outcome to chance. It's hard enough to be a small business owner, and there's no reason to make them even harder on ourselves by not making decisions. So take a second to think, what keeps people from making a decision? With my clients, I find it's 3 things. Fear of making the wrong choice, not feeling they have enough information, or not confident that they are ready enough, qualified enough, blank enough. So with fear, what is the worst that can really happen? In my opinion, most things can be undone with some effort. There's very few things in life that are really, really permanent. So the risk is low that you're truly going to fail big. I had the chance to meet and talk to Tony Robbins a few weeks ago. Amazing experience, but one of the things that he talked about was the power of failure. He said, when we have success, we're all excited and we're celebrating and cheering and, you know, way to go me. But when we have failure, we actually ponder. We ponder what worked and what didn't, what we should do next time and what needs to change. So really powerful message from Tony Robbins on that stuck with me. In my experience, it's better to make a decision and then be ready to adjust if it doesn't work out. More times than not, it actually does work out, and then I'm on the right path even sooner than if I didn't make a decision. So the second thing, rarely do we really have all the facts to make a decision. And you have to go with what's available because the time keeps ticking and opportunities fade fast. What about being scared? Yeah, I'm scared sometimes when I make decision, but isn't it better to move forward and make some progress? than to stand still and see what happens? I think you might have heard when people die or they're on their deathbed, what is the biggest regret that they've had in life? And many people answer, I should have blank, right? They don't regret what they did, they regret what they didn't. So make a decision and don't have any regrets and modify it if it doesn't work. What about not feeling confident enough? So I found that confidence develops little by little as you make more decisions that work out in your favor. That means you have to start making decisions right now and build up that confidence muscle. Here's a story on the holidays. I volunteered at the Boys and Girls Club here in Denver. They had a holiday party, and it was catered by Illegal Pete's. It's a Mexican restaurant here in Denver. So Illegal Pete's provided a taco bar so the kids could make their own tacos, which was kind of fun. It was really fun because the kids ranged from age 6 to 16. So my job was to hold two plates in front of each kid as they came to the front of the line and ask them, hard shell or soft shell? That was it. They had to make a decision between a crunchy taco and a soft taco. That's all they had to do, but I was shocked at how many kids struggled with this decision, right? They were actually looking at the decision and they couldn't pick what they wanted. I thought it would just be the younger kids because they're kind of new to stuff, but it went all the way up to people that were 16, and that just blew my mind. I was just so intrigued about why people couldn't decide between two choices, and they all knew what tacos were. So it made me think maybe something happened at home where they made a wrong decision and parents yelled at them, so they were hesitant to make a decision again. Or maybe they don't even get to make decisions, so they don't have the experience of choosing. So if you're still on the fence about making decisions faster, you just got to decide. And ask yourself, what is it costing you to not make that decision? That's the opportunity cost of doing nothing at all while your competition is going to charge ahead. So just practice making faster decisions. One thing I like to do is get up to the drive-thru and be ready to order. Scan the menu and pick something. It doesn't matter, probably everything tastes good. Or just follow your gut. If your gut says it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no, so say no. Okay, here are some specific actions to start right now to help you make decisions faster so you can be even more productive. Remember, each of these tips helps you move closer to gaining 1 to 2 extra hours in your day consistently. Number one, if you're stuck making a decision, limit your choices to just two options, option A, option B. If you have more choices, I found that people just delay making the decision because there's just too much to evaluate. So two options, A and B. Step two, just pick something and pick quickly. If you're stuck, flip a coin, throw a dart. Hesitation always costs you money and sometimes more. I've had people super excited to work with me, but they never pulled the trigger. Even though we both know I can help them improve their business and their cash flow super fast. How much was it costing them not to get my help right now? I know for one person it was thousands of dollars and major stress on his marriage. So just pick something and move forward, and if it doesn't work, undo it. My third tip, get started right away. You limited your choices, you picked one, now start. You're going to know right away if you're wrong, and then you could just correct the course and do something else. No harm done if you stop it early and pivot, change courses. I learned something really amazing while reading an article. I learned that business owners need to think more like scientists. Scientists never admit that they're wrong, and they never take things personally when the outcome doesn't meet their expectations. They simply say, the assumptions were wrong. I wasn't wrong. It was the assumptions, and they create new assumptions. No big deal to them. Business people can do the same type of thinking. Don't take it personally. Don't hold back on a decision because you may be wrong. Your assumptions were probably incorrect. So making decisions, it's so important to productivity. They are what move you forward so you can be even more successful. So next, I'm going to talk about sloppy perfection.
You just learned about scheduling and how highly productive people make decisions quickly. Before starting the next audio, commit to making one decision you have been delaying that will move you or your business forward.